Well, good morning. And if you're here or if you're watching online, you're probably aware that we're doing what we can to slow the spread of a virus that could be deadly to those with compromised immune systems. So thank you for bearing with us, and thank you for letting the most vulnerable in Licking Valley know that they can join us online on Facebook or YouTube or Instagram TV at LV Church of Christ. Or they can watch a recorded version of this service anytime on our church webpage at lvcc.church, lvcc.church. We don't know, but we may need to do this again for a couple of more weeks. We'll see. We'll try to keep you informed. But the question is, why do we do this? What is our underlying reason for all these special changes that we're making here this morning? We do this because we care about the health and well-being of our neighbors, and we care about the health and well-being of each other. And that's the very reason we'll discover this morning why morals matter as well. For the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at underlying reasons that are given in the Bible for some of God's commands in the Bible. The underlying reasons given why God says what God says about some things. Why God says what God says about marriage. Why God says what God says about money. And this morning, the underlying reason given for why God says what God says about morals. And specifically this morning, we're talking about sexual morals. Why does God camp out on a code of conduct that is so clearly in conflict with so much of our world? No sex before marriage, and no sex with anyone but your spouse afterwards. What kind of a world is that? Well, that's the kind of world God created. A world where God created one woman for one man for life. God could have created a whole harem of women for the man, or a whole army of men for the woman. But he didn't. Instead, God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while the man slept, he took one of the ribs and he closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Therefore, God said, "A man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the Bible says the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. That's the world God created. He created a beautiful world, a loving world, a world where the best of man and the best of woman can be unashamedly expressed exclusively between the two of them. And God doesn't appreciate anyone messing that up. And that's why God says what he says when he says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous." The sexually immoral and the adulterous. Those are the two nemeses that God says will spoil and soil his beautiful world that he created. Sexually immoral is a generic term translated from the Greek word pornos, from which we get our word pornography. The visual portrayal of that which God created to be kept solely between husband and wife alone. Or portrayals even worse, visual portrayals of things that God never created to be portrayed at all in any relationship. And sexual immorality was rampant in New Testament days, as it is in ours. And New Testament Christians were told in the midst of that sexually immoral world not to associate with sexually immoral people, 1 Corinthians 5:9. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Ephesians 5:5. The sexually immoral are locked together with men who practice homosexuality in 1 Timothy 1:10. Their portion will be in the lake of fire that burns with fire and sulfur, according to Revelation 21:8. So why is God so angry with the sexually immoral? Because they spoil and they soil that which God made beautiful, as do the adulterous, those who would encroach upon and destroy the very marriage relationship that God created. God has always considered that an offense, not only against the innocent marriage partner, but God has considered adultery an offense against himself and against the beautiful marriage relationship he created. That's why when young Joseph was approached over and over again by Potiphar's wife down in Egypt to lie with her while her husband wasn't around, young Joseph over and over again refused her. And he said to her, "How can I do this wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph recognized that doing such a thing would be committing a great transgression against Potiphar, this woman's husband, but he also recognized that he would be committing a great sin against God. What's God got to do with it? Well, Joseph knew that sleeping with Potiphar's wife would be encroaching upon and likely destroying something God had made beautiful. That's why adultery and sexual immorality makes God so angry. So angry that at the end of time, God says, "The one who conquers, I will be his God and he'll be my son. But as for the sexually immoral, their portion will be in the lake of fire that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." And God says that because he cares for this beautiful relationship that he's created for us to have with one another. That's why God cares about protecting it. That's why God cares about anyone who would threaten it. Or do you know, do you not know, 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, the apostle says to the Corinthian church. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And by the grace of God, those Corinthian Christians were given a second chance to live the kind of life that honored God and honored marriage and honored this beautiful way that God created life to be lived. Now, that's what Jesus gave the woman caught in the act of adultery in John chapter 8. You probably remember how the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus who'd been caught in the very act of adultery, in the act of marriage breaking. And they reminded Jesus that the law said such women were to be stoned. And they asked Jesus what he said should be done with her. And they said this to test him. The scribes and Pharisees didn't care one hoot about marriage or marriage breaking. They just wanted to put Jesus in a tough spot. This Jesus who went around forgiving everybody of everything. "What do you say, Jesus? What should we do with such a woman who so angers God, encroaching upon and likely destroying that which God made so beautiful?" The Bible says Jesus stooped down and he wrote on the ground. Wouldn't you like to know what Jesus wrote? We're not told. What we are told is that when Jesus stood up, he said, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. And we're told with that the men dropped their rocks and went home, from the oldest to the youngest of them. And they left Jesus alone with that woman, the perfect one who was without sin, and the sinful woman. And with dropped stones laying all around, Jesus stood back up and he said, "Woman, where are your accusers? Does no one condemn you?" And the woman said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, and this is truly beautiful, Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Now, go and sin no more." Isn't that beautiful? Instead of judging that woman and condemning that woman and sending that woman straight to hell for what she did, Jesus forgave her and gave her a second chance. And that's why the first thing we're going to say this morning is this: sometimes the right thing to do is to not do some things. And those things are to judge and to stone and to condemn to hell. That is not the gospel. That's not how we show the love of God. That's not why we're here. And that's not why we're online. We're here and online to share the gospel. And the gospel is good news. The gospel is the story of how sinners can be forgiven and given a second chance to listen to Jesus and to begin living the way God intended. And that's why the second thing we're going to say this morning is this: sometimes the right thing to do is to stop doing some things. If you're living outside the will of God, now's the time to stop and be forgiven and be given that second chance. And the last thing we're going to say this morning is this: whichever time you find yourself in, it's never the wrong time to do something about it. Some of us need to drop our rocks this morning and go home and let Jesus work on some broken hearts. Others of us need to thank the Lord that he has given us a second chance and take it. Whichever time you find yourself in, this is the time the Lord has given you to do something about it. Now, what we've been talking about this morning is the will of God. That's really all we've been talking about. What is God's will for the way life is to be lived here upon the earth? And it was pointed out to me this last week that the will of God is like this umbrella. We can place ourselves under it and be protected. Under God's will, be protected from so much evil that would fall upon us. We can make ourselves available and walk around this beautiful world that God's created. And keeping ourselves under the will of God, we can enjoy so many places and so many things. What a beautiful world. As the rain falls, we're still protected. But folks, there are some places to which we cannot go. And still remain
under the will of God. We can still go into those places. We can fold up our umbrella of protection and go into those forbidden places, but not under the protection of the will of God. And in here, all hell can rain down upon us and upon our loved ones and everyone upon whom our life affects. What we're being given this morning is a second chance to step out of those places and shut those doors and raise again our umbrellas and place ourselves once again under the protection of the will of God. For some of you, your decision at this time is to come out. For some of you, thank the Lord, your decision is to redouble your resolve to never go in. For all of us, our decision is to keep ourselves safely under the will of God. Let's pray that we all make that decision this morning. Lord God, we do thank you for giving us all second chances. When you could have, in anger, cast not only the first stone, but the final stone, and been done and through with us for good. Instead, you sent your Son to take upon himself the punishment we deserved, to die in our place, so that our sins could be forgiven and we could be given a second chance now to listen to your Son Jesus and put ourselves under his protection forever. That's our prayer. And we pray it this morning in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen.